And take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And the sermon I'm titled, The Trinity at Work in the Death, Burial, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or we could just say the Trinity at Work in the Gospel. And by the way, just something didn't announce is that Wednesday night, of course, is our prayer meeting night, and that got announced, but 7 o'clock, we're going to have a special speaker, and that is Brother Arthur Cole. He's the man from up in Buffalo, New York, up and around that area. They planted 4 churches up in that area, and good fundamental independent Baptist churches, and these are people that are love the Lord, and so I asked him to preach this Wednesday night, so they're on vacation, but they're not going to get to rest the whole time. We're going to put them to work. So, but it's great to have them here, and we're looking forward to Wednesday night. Well, if you'll look there now in your text here, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. Now, ladies, that's not your husband. Every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so as you look at that verse, it's something that has a little message for us that a lot of people miss in this day. I can tell you pretty well, modern science misses it completely. And so we'll say more about that as time goes on here. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, help me to rightly divide it. But Lord, especially, help me to be 100% sensitive to thy Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to every heart here with something that you have for them that may not come out of my lips, but it'll come from thy Holy Spirit. To them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, in our text here, we saw some words here that were interesting. He said, Let us make man in our, O-U-R, our image. But understand, the word our is a plural. So he says, Let us make man in our image. But the word make is singular. So, the plural and the singular there. Now, you say, why are you putting that? Why are you making an emphasis on that? Because it's written originally in the Hebrew language. Okay? And so, in the Hebrew, when you have a plural followed by a singular verb, it means that that's involved in the plural, which would be the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So, these three, with this singular verb, let us make, is speaking of those three being one. Therefore, that when somebody says, how do you define the Trinity or how do you define the Godhead? Really, I think we see it right here. Three divine persons in one divine essence. The way the Bible was written, God had a purpose for using the Hebrew then of that day as well as the Greek and the New Testament. And that's why we are very serious about the Masoretic text of the Old Testament for the Hebrew and then the Textus Receptus for the New Testament. They are the words that have been preserved. And so when you look at a Bible, you look at a Bible that was used, that translated from those texts. Right, the only one today that is like that, that's completely like that, is the King James Version. Even the New King James Version, and I actually met and talked to one of those guys that were actually part of that translation committee. And they did. In some places that they just could not agree, they went and used the critical text, which is corrupted so much. And I can't understand why they would, but they did. And so what a bad thing that is to happen when they were thought they were doing something good and it ended up not being so good. So really, we're just seeing here, just to begin with, the Trinity is sitting here talking about creating, making man in their image. And so now, as we think that over the image of God, and he goes on and he says here, as we look at it in here, they'd have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, not one of those creeping things, not one fish, not one of the cattle, not any of that is in the image of God. The only is mankind. Man is in the image of God. Our image then comes to mind, the image that you and I were created in. It comes to mind with Jesus Christ when he spoke in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Lord, okay, shall worship the Father, should I say, in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, we all say, I want to come to church on Sunday morning and we're going to worship God. We come to worship. And we should. We really should. And God says here, though, I mean, the Trinity in the conversation, this is an agreement of these three divine persons in one essence. They are saying, as Jesus is reporting it now in the book of John, that the Father in the Godhead seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? Now, if you're going to be a true worshiper of God, it must be in spirit. It must be in truth. We just found out God is a spirit. You and I were made in God's image. What does that tell you? That tells you that we are a spirit with a soul and a body. We're not a body that has a soul and a spirit. We are a spirit that has a soul and a body because we're made in God's image. Every one of us. As we go further in this, we're going to see a little bit more about that. But the truth, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. Jesus also in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 said, thy word is truth. You cannot have actual worship with a rock band setting up here. You can't have worship with people giving you a bunch of psychology. Worship comes from the word of God as we listen to it, obey it, and act upon it. To do it the other ways I just mentioned is blasphemy against God. Now, if you want to go to a church where you blaspheme God, then this is not the place. This is not the place for that, because we are not going to do that. So again, we need to learn to understand, what does it mean for me to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? Well, I am a spirit with a soul and a body. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, took on a body and a soul, but he'd been in the spirit from eternity past. So we should learn from that. We are made in God's image. Verse 27, Genesis chapter 1 told us. It says there, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now listen to this. I'm going to have the education council after us here on this one. Male and female created he them. The Godhead is three persons in one divine essence. But it's not about gender. It's spirit. Now get the picture at this point. The Almighty God, that is the Almighty Godhead of spirit, is a spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God spoke the world into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. Do you realize he said that before there was a sun or moon? You realize that even right after he said that, there was no sun or moon. Where was that light coming from? Well, the Bible does tell us in John chapter 1, Jesus is the light. Remember? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Okay, so we have light from Jesus Christ. I believe that that world, when it was created, and it didn't have a sun yet, Jesus was the light of it. And guess what? One day, we're going to be caught up, we're going to be with the Lord, we're going to be in the New Jerusalem, and guess who's the light of it? Jesus Christ. Man alive, it's so plain in the Word of God. All we got to do is act upon it and just rejoice, because one day we're going to be there. So what a great opportunity it is. God spoke the worlds into existence, and yet man tries to question that. How could he do that? Anybody with a right mind knows the world exploded. All of a sudden there were babies flying everywhere, you know? That's the idiocy of the whole thing. Okay, so we're seeing here that nothing, when you think of God speaking the worlds into existence, absolutely. I hate it when people say there are no absolutes. They just made an absolute statement. To say that, they just contradicted themselves. But I'll tell you this, there is absolutely no other way that this world was created. There was absolutely no other one that could create the heavens and the earth. There's no other one that could create these creatures. So again, although we look at man, he was created by God. He made them male and female. We say, well, what about that? What about this that we have today? This that we have today doesn't change creation. No way. We are created in God's image. And since we are, God knew that Satan would fall. That was simple. That was easy. He knew that Satan would fall. And therefore, because we're created in God's image, guess what you and I have? And if you're a Calvinist, you're going to hate this next statement. But if we're created in God's image, which is a spirit, we're told here, we were just told here, God is a spirit. If we are created in God's spirit, then guess what? We have a free will. A free will. Now let me read further in this, just going along further in these things here. So there is nothing impossible for God to do. And so he made man, speaking us into existence, making us out of the dust of ground. You read in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. If you're saying, well, I'm a spirit, well, listen to this. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Very clear on this. It states that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. That is why so often some of you have been to my funerals, you've heard me make this statement. You're not a body with a soul and a spirit. You are a spirit with a soul and a body. I said that earlier. I just said it again. And I say that about every funeral I do. So in God's image, we are a spirit with a free will that is not always true to what we say we are. That is, oh, I'm a good Christian. Oh, I love God. And we're not always true to that because we have a free will. Satan gets in there and does a mess. And we give into it. You know, if you're saved, you can't be possessed by Satan, but you can be oppressed by Satan. And you can be led in other directions. So we are created in God's image. And since God knew because of the fall of Satan, we would be tempted by him. And we too, by free will, could change, could fall. And by the way, if you think that's something, think there was Satan up in heaven. He was the covering cherub, second only to God, second only to the entire Godhead. He wasn't satisfied. He wouldn't take it all over. And so what did he do? He got with the angels. Look, he had all those angels. How many angels are there? I have no idea. But he was able to get many, many, many angels to fall with him. Now, I've been asked this. I'll just say this one more time. I've said it before in years past here, but people say, well, don't you think angels should be allowed to get saved? Look, they had greater light. They saw where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was. They knew. They knew that place. They knew that Satan was the covering cherub. They knew that Holy of Holies. They knew all about it. They're without excuse. Without excuse. Satan gave him his vision, and they acted on that vision. And they fell, but not all the angels fell, but the ones that did. They are without excuse. Just like a person that might sit in this auditorium, have an opportunity to hear the gospel and get saved, and they don't walk the aisle, one day they'll stand before God and they'll say, well, I just didn't have a chance. Oh, I didn't like that preacher. Oh, I've seen other Christians the way they live. Why aren't they going to hell instead of just me? Because what other Christians do, they'll suffer loss of reward. But other Christians don't determine whether you go to heaven or to hell. That's between you and God. And if you don't receive him, I can tell you right now on the authority of God's word that hell is your eternal destiny. And it will be. If you die without Christ, there'll be no coming back. That'll be it. That's it. It's over. Forever and ever, it is over. So, when a man is fully tempted, yeah, he can fall. Because he has a free will. But just like Adam, remember Adam in the garden and Eve? They had a free will. They didn't have to fall. Eve was tempted by the devil. She was tempted. She gave in that temptation. She ate of the fruit. Then she offered it to Adam. Adam knew, no, we're not supposed to do that. See, I think the worst sin between the two was Adam. If you measure which one was the worst. All sin is evil, all sin is bad. But you see, Adam's sin is presumptuous. He knew what was going to happen. He wasn't deceived. He knew what was would happen. He didn't want to lose his wife. Maybe he didn't want to lose another rib, I don't know. But he didn't want to lose her. Presumptuous sin. And yet, God gave Adam such a mind at creation. Now think of this. Such a mind at creation, he was able to name all the creatures. All the creatures today that we look at, Adam already gave them a name. He is the one that did it. He did not have faith to trust that God, when he said, In the day thou eatest there, thou shalt surely die. He didn't have enough faith to think that would happen if he sinned, if he did what Satan said or his wife said. He obeyed Satan. He got caught up. He didn't want to lose his wife or whatever, but what he was not able of his own personal faith to stand. You see, can't blame God on this. God had already laid it out for him. God had already told him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He says, we find, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. That's the final complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. There is no other way. None whatever. Only through Jesus Christ. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus, you look in the book of Mark chapter 1, you find out he went preaching repentance and faith. There are those people today that say, repentance is not a part of salvation. Then he just said, well, boy, did Jesus Christ mess it up? Boy, he messed it up big time. He was out there preaching faith and repentance. Because that's what he preached, the Bible tells us. And I find it so often is the truth that when people try to make statements that no one else has said, it's always wrong. When it goes against the word, it is always wrong. Just remember, God is always right. When there's a difference between what God says and man says, man is always wrong. And so, what happens? Well, after the deception, after the giving in, after the presumptuous sin, God did what he said he'd do. In the day, the very day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. Surely die. Oh, wait a minute. Got you there, preacher. Ha ha. They lived. I mean, the Bible says he lived over 900 years. Yeah. But guess what? Death, the word death means separation, not cessation. At that day, his spirit was separated from God. Just think, made in the image of God. And now that spirit is separated from God. And that's why in Genesis 3, you find out that God would provide a Savior through the seed of the woman. And so, we think of these things that we've heard many times. You say, well, how are we a spirit? Well, let me show you some things. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. In other words, when you were conceived, God gave a spirit. And when you die, your spirit leaves this body, it goes straight back to God. If you're not saved, that will go back to God, and he will put that body into hell to be kept there until the day that it's cast into the lake of fire. If you're a believer, you'll be there with the Lord. But understand, Adam and Eve died that day. That is, they were separated from God. And they needed a Savior. And so, that spirit, we just read in Ecclesiastes 12, 7. Goes back to the dust. Spirit goes back to God who gave it. God gave you your spirit. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1 says this, the burden of the word of the Lord, for Israel saith, the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Now, have you thought about this? I want you to think about this. He says that the Lord, God, forms the spirit within man. When you're conceived, the Father, God, forms your spirit your very spirit in him, in that person. Your spirit that you have today was formed by God in you the very moment of conception. But I want you to see something else. Again, if you think I upset the people that are Calvinistic today, you're going to find out that's going to upset them some more. See, the Calvinist says, you're predestined. You're predestined. You're one of the elect. You're predestined to go to heaven, or you're predestined to go to hell. Okay? So if they are saying a person is predestined to go to hell, or they say they're not elect, they'll never be saved, then guess what? They're saying that God Almighty, the holy, the all-holy God, formed an evil spirit inside that seed of that child so that that child could burn forever in hell. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's what you're saying if you say that some are predestined to heaven, some are predestined to hell. Look, the book of Revelation ends there, chapter 22, verse 17. Whosoever will, and you have a free will, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Oh, but that must happen before you die physically. And no one knows that day. So again, you have the capacity, I believe, to realize how utterly ignorant, for example, evolution is. He made the male and female is a good instance of that. How in the world does science show gender confusion? I mean, if your 8-year-old has a stomach ache, you don't give them a hysterectomy because they say, I feel like I'm a girl today. But that's the ignorance of this gender stuff that's going on. Believe God, because only the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can save your soul, not science. Only the Lord can save a soul. Now, even if a person decides, I want to identify as this other kind of a gender, that does not make them that gender. No, that is a lie that some of these educators, some of these other folks have tried to get them to accept that they might fall into their degenerate ways of the most terrible sexual perversity that there can be. You know, I've been in the ministry, I can say, for at least 46 years. And I found after 46 years, now think about this, after 46 years of ministry, I found that couples can hardly wait to find out about their child. Is it a boy or is it a girl? I have never heard in that 46 years, is it a transgender? Never have. I don't know why. Boy, isn't that a mystery? Maybe they ought to put science on trying to figure that out. But I've never heard that. When they asked, what's it going to be? A boy or a girl? Now look, I grew up in the day when they didn't have those tests to find out what was a boy or a girl. You just got what you was given. You know? You know, if a man didn't like it that he got a girl instead of a boy, he'd say, it's her fault. And the lady, same way with the man. That's his fault. You know? But usually we're just happy what we got with. What we had, we said, oh, that is great. I mean, my goodness, I grew up with 5 boys. No girls in our house. My mother had 1 girl, but she was stillborn in 1938, so we didn't none of us boys got to meet her. And so we look back at that, and I say, well, no, I guess I had a sister, but I won't see her till heaven. We've had four miscarriages. We won't get to see them till heaven. But I know we'll see them, because when they were conceived, there was a spirit God put in them. Even knowing they were going to be miscarried or a stillbirth, they knew that. So I had a son, then the second one was a girl. Man, I wasn't raised around girls. My mother was the only girl. So, you know, I mean, she's an adult, so she doesn't act like little girls. And when you haven't grew up around girls, you're trying to figure out, what in the world has happened to me? What, Lord, why are you punishing me? You know, but that wasn't it. You know, we were so happy to have a baby girl. We were happy to have each of them that came. We realized that each one is a gift from God. It's God's gift. It's what God did. In Luke, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And of course, we find out that when it comes upon Mary, we're told that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and that holy thing that would be born of her shall be called the Son of God. And it's even proven when she went to visit her, not Martha, Elizabeth, okay? I told a class the other day, Martha, well, it's Elizabeth, okay? But when she went to visit Elizabeth, and just think, Elizabeth would bear John the Baptist. They were in the same room where the mothers of John the Baptist and the mother of Jesus there. All that John the Baptist could say is, Elizabeth, I'm coming to meet you, darling. It came upon, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And then, that Son of God begins to develop. But there's something else that you got to see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he, that is Jesus Christ, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You see, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, formed a seed, and then the Father took over and formed that baby from there forward. And that was it. That was it. The Father, the Son involved in this. And the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. All in the birth of Jesus Christ. If you read the 22nd Psalm, you'll see that Jesus, when he's on the cross, says to the Father, thou art he that drew me from my mother's womb. But how is the Trinity involved in the gospel? How is the Trinity involved in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you that next Sunday morning. Okay. For right now, though, I hope that you understand that the most important thing for anyone right now is to know that you're saved, to know that if you die today, that heaven's your home. Now, I'm going to read to you one more passage here. Because in the day that we live in, with all this woke idiocy and all the other things that are going on, I want you to listen to this scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. That is anywhere from adultery to sexual sin of any kind, fornicators, nor idolaters, those that worship anything besides God, nor adulterers, those that cheat in their marriage, nor effeminate, that's speaking of homosexuals. One of those Bible translations back a few years ago, there was a homosexual on the translating committee tried to change all of that. And they did in that one that they did as far as the Bible to make it look a little bit different. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers. That's, by the way, the revelers actually in that day was more like the partying, social drinking crowd. Sometimes they'd get into drinking parties. And so revelers covered those that had the drinking parties. Hey, get together, man, we're going to drink like crazy. We're going to see who can last the longest. But a lot of times it was just there where they were getting together and partying and drinking, whether they drank a lot or not. Extortioners. He says, none shall inherit, of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. But now here's the thing. This is addressed to the local church in Corinth. And he says, and such were, get that word, were? Such were some of you. Now that's some terrible things that we just read. But he says, such were some of you. But you're washed. How are they washed? By the blood of Jesus Christ. They're washed by that blood. But ye are sanctified. You're set apart after you've been washed by the blood. You're set apart to be used of the Lord. Just think. Some of these people were used of God to bring other souls to the Savior. They were used to serve the Lord. And they had that background. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he took your sin upon him and he paid it in full. It's gone. By the Spirit of our God, he says, the Holy Spirit. Now, my friend, you say, I've been too evil. I've done so many bad things to be saved. God can save you. Christian, you've slipped up. Instead of being down, get back to that command, first of all, after confessing your sins to God, of be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. But just don't stop there. Realize he has saved you for a purpose. He has cleansed you for a purpose. And now he has forgiven you for a purpose. And so, he's done all of that for you. Now serve him. Give your all to him. Every believer, really every person born in this world, can find something about themselves in Ephesians 2:10. For ye are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. God has a purpose for you. It is his will already. He's got something for you. Well, you know how bad I was? Yeah. Was. Such were. It doesn't have to be that way. As a matter of fact, let the rest of your life show that you oppose anything of that. I used to drink with those guys. Well, let those guys see that you have nothing to do with that anymore. You hate it, but you want to see them saved. Let a change be in your life that it's such were. If you're backslidden, you've gotten away from God, guess what? You can get it right. Get it right today. You can start today. In a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And that invitation, here's what it's going to be. We're going to stand up and have a song. And when we start singing, if you're not sure if you died today that heaven's your home, leave your seat and walk down here. I'll be down here at the front. Meet me at the front. I will direct you to someone who is trained in the Word of God, and they'll open the Bible and show you how to be saved. If as a Christian you've got away from the Lord, I want you to come back down here and just say, hey, I've gotten away from the Lord, or I want to get this right. I want to get right with others. I want to get right with God. I want to get this right. Hey, I'll have you again sit down with one of our counselors, and they will open the Bible and pray with you, and we'll get these things right today. But it's up to you to come. It's up to you to come. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. Don't do it. Let's bow our heads. Father.